Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
I am privileged to bring the word for you today. And I'm very grateful to Pastor for the opportunity to represent him in the pulpit today and to bring the word. And I'm excited about what God's given me to share today, because it flows right along with our purpose of the church. And when we come to Church on the Rock, we want to experience four things. We want to know God. We want to find freedom. We want to discover our purpose, and we want to make a difference with our life. And so today we're going to be talking about breaking free. The second point there, breaking free. And the truth is that we all have something that we need to break free from. It might be a sinful habit. It might be a time waster. It might be an attitude. It could be a secret sin. It could be social media. It could be many, many, many different things. But the truth is that we all have something in our lives that we need to break free from. And God wants to set us free also. It's not just that we want it, but God wants that for us today as well. So today we're going to look, first of all, we're going to look at an example from Scripture. We're going to look at the life of Simon. And we're going to read through his story, read through several verses here. And we're going to see how he was involved in witchcraft, sorcery. And then he hears the gospel, and he repents. He gives his heart over to Jesus. And then it was a process of growth, a process of growth. As he renews his mind and he gets corrected, and he keeps growing, and he's willing to humble himself in order to keep growing. And so let's look at the life of Simon in Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 9. But there was a man named Simon who had formerly practiced magical arts in the city, to the utter amazement of the Samaritan nation, claiming that he himself was an extraordinary and distinguished person. They all paid earnest attention to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is that exhibition of the power of God, which is called great and intense." Now, actually, what he was doing is he was deceiving the people, because the power that he had was given to him by Satan. Witchcraft. And he was coming across as a counterfeit. And so that reminds us that we should always test anything that we hear, test it against the Word of God, right? We should test the spirits and test it against the Word of God. And I appreciate that Pastor, even though he's the best, greatest teacher, pastor teacher in the world, right? And we're thankful for him. He says, look it up for yourself, make sure that that's what it says. And I appreciate that. That helps keep us on track. Verse 11, "And they were attentive, they made much of him because of the long time that he had mazed and bewildered and dazzled them with his skill in the magical arts. But when they believed that, the people, the general population, believed the good news, the gospel about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ the Messiah, as Philip preached it, they were baptized, both men and women." So the people now are getting born again. Also, Simon in verse 13. "Even Simon himself believed. He was born again. He adhered to, trusted in, and relied on the teaching of Philip, and after being baptized, devoted himself constantly in him, and seeing signs and miracles of great power which were being performed, he was utterly amazed." Now he's being amazed at what God is doing. And you know what? There's a difference between the spectacular and the supernatural. Spectacular is like, wow, look at me, look what's going on, see this? But the supernatural sometimes, in fact, most of the time, is much more subtle. The supernatural can be happening in your life right now, and the person next to you may not know it. That's the supernatural. That's the supernatural. That's the power of God. And let's pick it up at verse 14. "Now when the apostles, the special messengers at Jerusalem, heard that the country of Samaria had accepted and welcomed the Word of God, they sent in a new team. They sent in Peter and John to minister the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Verse 15, they came down and prayed for them that the Samaritans might receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, for he, who is he? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person, right? He's not an it, he's not a ghost, he is a person. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them, but had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they were born again, but not filled with the Holy Spirit yet. Then the apostles laid their hands on them one by one, and they received the Holy Spirit. However, when Simon saw the Holy Spirit was imparted through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he brought money and offered it to them. And he said in verse 19, grant me also this power and authority in order that anyone on whom I place my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. And what he wanted to do, he was growing in the Lord. He was trying to be a disciple, but he wasn't. We all have a room to grow, right? So he was kind of returning to his old ways because that's what he knew. That's what he knew. And so he was thinking this is the same thing, and he just didn't quite have that discernment. But in verse 20, Peter said to him, destruction overtake your money and you, because you have imagined you could obtain this free gift of salvation, the free gift of the Holy Spirit, this free gift of God with money. Verse 21, you have neither part nor a lot in this matter, for your heart is wrong. He's being corrected by his leader. How do you respond when you're corrected by your leader, by your pastor, by your mentor? We want to respond right, as Simon did here. Verse 21, you have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is all wrong in God's sight. It is not straightforward or right or true before God. Next verse, so repent. Repent of this depravity and wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, this contriving thought and purpose of your heart may be removed and disregarded and forgiven you. So they've given him direction. They rebuke him, and then they give him instruction of what he should do next. And we always want to welcome that conviction or that instruction that comes into our lives, right? That helps us to grow. We want to be lifelong learners, growing in the Lord. Verse 23, for I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in a bond forged by iniquity. So what that means is they could see in his life that he was returning to the old days of deep old habits of bitterness and then in the bond of iniquity. Notice that Simon already received Jesus, right? He was born again, right? But he was in bondage. So a believer, a Christian, can be in bondage, okay? We see that you are in bondage forged by iniquity. Iniquity is not just sin, but iniquity is sin that is repeated over and over and over, and it becomes a habit, and then it becomes a stronghold, something that has a stronghold on our life, and becomes an addiction. So they were identifying this in his life, verse 24, and then Simon answered, I repent. Pray for me. Beseech the Lord, both of you, that nothing of what you have said may befall me. So he repented, and remember, he repented once before, right? So repentance should really be something that is a regular practice of our lives, okay? Repentance is not just one time giving our heart to Jesus Christ, but having that attitude of humility. There's no liberty without humility. There's no freedom without humility. And Simon wanted that. He had a new life, and he wanted to grow, and so he was willing to repent. Now, repent is not this. It's not promising God that you'll never do that again, okay? God, I will never do that again. I'm so sorry. I know what you're thinking. I hear that laugh. And then you do it again, right? Okay. Oh, God, I'm really, really, really sorry. I promise you, I will never, ever, ever do that again. And then you do it again. Right? You know what I'm talking about. Like, God, can't you hear my voice crackling? The emotion in my voice and maybe the tears in my face. I really mean it, God. And then we do it again. Okay, so repentance is not just promising God you're never going to do it again. Okay, repentance is changing your mind and going in a new direction. Renewing our mind to the Word of God and understanding that it's not by my willpower that I will stop doing that, but it's by God's power that I will stop doing that. If I am doing it in my own willpower, then it is based upon my works, which are weak. Okay? But it's the change in life comes when we submit to and change our mind and submit to the power of God, renewing our mind, relying on the Word, realizing that we are the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, not through my own power. All right? So when I humble myself, when I repent, it begins a process. Now, breaking free, I know of people, you probably do too, maybe it's you, of people who are set free instantly. They've surrendered something to God, and God has completely taken it from their life. That does happen. More often, it's a process. So we need to renew our mind during that process or know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, that I am the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, that I have authority in the name of Jesus, that my identity is not based upon what I used to do, what they used to call me, but I have a new name now, and it's the name that God calls me, the righteousness of God. You see, when we begin to walk a new life as a Christian, Satan comes at us because he's lost, right? And so he comes at it, and a couple of ways that he comes at us is one way is, you know, first of all, we have to understand that Christians stumble. Is that right? Let's admit it. Christians stumble. But we get up. That's the key. The righteous keep getting up. The righteous get up. So when you stumble, don't give in. Get up, all right? So Satan will come a couple different ways. One way will be, you stumble and you feel bad about what you've done. And he'll come. See, the Holy Spirit wants to convict us. He will reveal these things to us. That conviction draws us closer to God, right? You know? But Satan comes to us with condemnation. And he says, you're a bad Christian. I don't think you can do it. You're not cut out for this. You might as well just quit. Just give it up. Okay? That's one approach I think that he comes at us with. Another is, wow, you're living this Christian life, and what you just did, Christians don't do. You better hide that. You better deny it. You better never, ever let anybody know that that's happened in your life. And that begins a trap. That begins the bondage in our lives. Now, Memorial Weekend is a special weekend, you know, in many different ways. And my father was the caretaker of three different cemeteries, and Memorial Day weekend, there were a lot of people that visit the cemeteries, and so it was his goal, and they were beautiful, beautifully manicured cemeteries for Memorial Day weekend, and I kind of picked that up from my dad. You know, I love to mow my lawn when I have a good, I have a nice lawnmower now, and I enjoy that, and I like to take care of the stuff outside. And when I pull weeds, I get revelation from God. Anybody else? Now, that's a different perspective on pulling weeds, isn't it? But here's what I get when I'm pulling weeds. I'm pulling weeds, and sometimes they're small, and they're easy to pull out, right? And sometimes, maybe if it's been too long, they're a little bit bigger, and like, wow, you know? And you pull them out, and the weeds are sin, represent sin in our life. So you pull them out, and sometimes it's a little bit bigger. It's been too long since we've been to church, been too long since we've been with God. And so the weeds are getting a little bit bigger, and we pull them out. And then there's some, you know, that you're pulling on it, and you know you're trying to get the root, but you hear it snap. And then, you know, but for now, that's okay. It's okay. That just looks good. We'll just go with that. You can either do that, or you can take a trowel or a shovel and actually dig the root up. okay? So you have that option as well. But then there's some, like in our rose bushes, there's some that actually grow in right next to the rose bush, and I don't see it for a while. And it comes up right as if it were part of the rose bush, okay? And then one day when it's fairly big, I see it, and some of them have a lot of prickly stickers on. I don't know what kind of weed that is, but they'll go through leather gloves, and they're tough. But you've got to get in there because it looks like it's normal. It looks like it should be there, but it shouldn't. So then you find it and you pull it out. Sometimes there's a weed that gets really big. I don't know what the I don't know my weeds very well, but there's one that gets really, really big stalk on it, and it looks like it's gonna you're gonna need a something to dig it out. You just pull it and it comes right out. It's deceptive how easy it was to get rid of that, right? So sometimes you can put down preen, and that's a pre-emergent that prevents the weeds from growing. But how many of you know it only lasts for a period of time, and then the weeds are going to start to grow again? You can even use Roundup or vinegar and salt and try to kill them off. And that'll work, but in time, they keep coming back. That's the way our lives are. We, as long as we are alive, we will have a constant battle because we live in a broken world, right? And so we have that constant battle with the weeds in our life. You know, sometimes you look at them and you think, does that belong there or not? Is that a plant? Is that a flower? What is that? And you're not even quite sure. So, you know, it's a process. It's a whole process of getting free. And so 2 years ago, the summer of 2000, what year is this? It would have been 2017, Pastor Sin Star and I to get some training so that we could bring Celebrate Recovery to Church on the Rock in the full program. The full program to Church on the Rock. And so we go, and we're out there, and we were in California for about a week, and we were just completely sold on it, completely sold on it. And we thought, this is the greatest thing in the world, and we're going to come back, and we're going to help people get free. It didn't take me very long at all to realize that I'm the one that has to get free too, okay? So Celebrate Recovery was not just for all those people. Celebrate Recovery was for me. And I begin to see that my life is kind of like an onion with many, 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 many different layers. And so you start and you deal with that outer layer, that first one that you see, the most obvious. And then there's something else that you can deal with. How many of you know as close as you can get to God, there's always closer we can get, right? And so we don't want anything standing between us and our relationship with God. But I realize that this ministry of breaking free, that whole idea of breaking free and all of that was for me as much as anybody else. So it wasn't too long into the program that I identified a need in my life. And this, for real, compulsive overeating, okay? So on Thursday nights when we have Celebrate Recovery, We're done. I go up to my office. I have a little report I write, about 10 minutes. But I get distracted by the other projects on my desk. And so sometimes I will stay there till maybe midnight and just work by my own choice. It's, you know, it just maybe it's poor planning. But it's I might be there till, I used to. I don't do this anymore. But I might be there till midnight. And then I'd come home, and I'm like, man, I'm thirsty. So I'll stop. Quick Trip is my favorite place to stop, right? Great place. I'm not sure if it's a restaurant or a gas station. Their food is great. So I stop at Quick Trip. I got some gas, and then I thought, I'll go in, and I'll get something. So when you walk in the door, right to the left, just to the left here, what's there? The roller cookers with the hot dogs and the taquitos, and you've been there, right? Okay, so I get a hot dog. It's been 6 hours since I've eaten, so I thought, I'll get a hot dog. And what goes good with a hot dog? A bag of chips, yeah. So I get a bag of chips, and then I need some dessert. So I'll get a candy bar, and wouldn't you know it, and this is true. I'm not exaggerating this at all. In the donut case, now it's been there all day long. But my favorite donut in the world is the caramel Long John's at Quick Trip. No one else's. I don't know what they do to them, but there was one in there. So I had my donut, I had my hot dog, I had my chips, and I had a candy bar. And then I came in there to get a water, but I didn't want water anymore, so I got a soda. But I did get root beer because it doesn't have caffeine that late at night, okay? I don't want to stay up. All right. So I'm standing there in line, and there's a girl in front of me. She's checking out. She's buying her beer and cigarettes. And I'm thinking, oh, I wish I could tell her about Celebrate Recovery. And that's when it dawned on me. This is why I'm going to Celebrate Recovery. All right. So I did buy it and ate all of it, okay? But that was the last time that ever happened. That was the last time that ever happened. I was in denial. I was in denial. And there's no freedom as long as there's denial. And denial is the first step. Celebrate Recovery at Church on the Rock is a Christ-centered 12-step recovery program to help people find freedom from their hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Now, that's much broader than you would think, because most people think recovery or Celebrate Recovery is for drugs and alcohol. It certainly does include that. We had one guy just 2 weeks ago. He said, tonight, I knew I had to come. It was his first time there, and he said, tonight is the first night I have not drunk in years. Okay? So, it is for that. But all of us deal with a hurt, a habit, or a hang-up at some level. Every one of us deal with hurts, habits, and hang-ups. This is a list of the reasons that people currently who are coming, and it may not necessarily be a complete list. There were some things we chose to leave off. But these are some of the reasons that people are coming. Drugs and alcohol, low self-esteem, relationship issues, food issues, control issues, codependency, addictive behaviors, pornography, adultery, procrastination, perfectionism is not a virtue, okay? Pride, PTSD, loss of a loved one, rejection, fear, anxiety, anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness. Those are some of the reasons that people are coming to Celebrate Recovery right now. We meet every Thursday night in the Rock Cafe Express. We have dinner at 6 o'clock. And at 7 o'clock, we have a large group meeting, which is, we call it the service. We have worship. We have a teaching. We have a testimony. We go through the steps and all that kind of stuff. And then at 8 o'clock, then we break into small groups for gender-specific and issue-specific small groups, where then everybody has an opportunity, if they want to talk about what's on their heart, what their struggles are, what their recovery has been, or they can choose not to speak at all. But I said Celebrate Recovery is Christ-centered. Absolutely every one of the 8 principles on the road to recovery is based upon a scripture, and we say that every time. Every one of the 12 steps is based upon a scripture. Every one of the points that is taught is based upon a scripture, and the whole point of it is to lead people to Jesus, because without Jesus, there is no breaking free, right? Without Jesus, there is no real freedom. So people are working through a process. They're coming in one way, they're leaving another. They're working through a process, and the process is working. There's another part of the program called the Step Study. The Step Study is a Bible study based upon the 12 steps where you personally go through and apply that to your lives. And we have a number of people that are currently doing that. We've also expanded into the St. Charles County Jail. It's called CR Inside. And so once a month, we go into a women's cell block and a men's cell block, and we take the cell Celebrate Recovery step studies, and we're working it through with the inmates. So It's a very flexible number from month to month, but maybe 50 to 75 people that we're reaching each month. And we have been donating Celebrate Recovery Bibles so that the inmates can have them. And one of the most exciting things was the last time that I was there, this guy had his Bible, and he was totally, two of them had Bibles, but this one was totally on fire. Totally on fire for God. And he said, this Bible has saved my life. I am a new person because I've been reading this Bible. And not just the recovery part, but the Bible part of it as well. And so his life was completely changed. And he was so, so excited about that. And some of the inmates are even getting one-on-one step studies with them. And then here's the exciting part. They're taking it and they're doing studies with their other inmates in their cells. And so it's really an exciting thing to see what's happening there inside. So they know that they have to have a process of change. They have to have a process to change the behavior that got them in there. Otherwise, when they get out, they'll return very quickly. And so they're excited about that. We're very excited about that too. And then just recently, we've started providing Celebrate Recovery materials for our Women's Recovery Center in University City. So we're excited. And thank you for being a part of that and praying for Celebrate Recovery because it's making a difference. Celebrate Recovery is forward-looking. Forward-looking. Not just dwelling on the past, but forward-looking. And it's based upon taking personal responsibility for change in our lives, okay? I'm responsible for that. And it's not addiction-focused, it is freedom-focused. It's freedom-focused. We introduce ourselves and we say, hi, I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm celebrating recovery from compulsive overeating. My name is Steve. Oh, thank you. But I started with, I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. And we've had people that couldn't say that at first because they weren't, but now they are. And they boldly say, I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm celebrating recovery from. So that doesn't mean that I'm always going to be labeled by my past behavior, my past addiction, but I'm celebrating recovery from this. All right. So I'm excited about that. It's forward looking. So once a month we have what we call a chip celebration. And we have these colored chips for the time that you've been in recovery. The blue chip is the first one. We call it the surrender chip. And this chip, the chip celebration is kind of like an altar call. So we say, who wants to come tonight and get your blue chip? And so people will stand up, and they'll come, they'll get their blue chip, and we celebrate, and we clap, and we cheer with them. And they're surrendering something to God. Now, they don't have to stand up front and say, yeah, I'm giving up. Yeah. They don't have to say that. But they just come up, and we celebrate that they're surrendering something to God. And that's the beginning of the process. That's the beginning of the process. So they've made a decision, and that decision is the hardest part. The process is easier once you've made the decision, okay? And so then there's the red chip is for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, up through 11 months, and then at a year, it turns into a bronze coin. And then every year, you can get a bronze coin, and you can get one anywhere from 1 to 35 years of your recovery. Whatever it is. Sometimes that's just surrendering to God that He may want you to start a new habit. So that's exciting to see. And that blue chip represents humility. Remember, there's no liberty without humility. There's no freedom without humility. And just like Simon, as we looked at in the beginning, his life started out, he was on the wrong side of life, right? He was on the wrong side. He was serving the wrong master, and he repented and he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And then it was a process of growth. He had some struggles along the way, and he got corrected, and he responded well, and he was renewing his mind and continued to want to walk in God's will for his life. You know, I believe that's who we are today, that we want to walk in God's will for our life. And so maybe you're here today, and you might be thinking, maybe there's an issue in my life that I need to surrender to God. And I want to invite you today to surrender that to God. Would you bow your heads, please? with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Allow God to speak to your heart today about an area of your life. Now, let's start with surrendering our life, giving our heart to Jesus Christ, getting born again. Getting born again. That certainly deserves a blue chip. That's the biggie. But maybe there's something in your life as a believer, as a Christian, that you know that really shouldn't be there. Maybe it's something that you just maybe kind of thought of today. Maybe it's something that just recently popped up or something you've dealt with for a number of years. Or maybe your entire life. Maybe it's a hurt. Maybe it's an offense. Maybe it's an attitude. But you can break free from that. If you humble yourself today before God, He will hear you. So if that's you today in any of those categories, would you lift your hand today? I want to pray with you today. Thank you for lifting your hand. Keep them up for just a moment. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for your honesty between you and God. And God's going to hear your prayer today. And whatever you're surrendering to God, He'll take it and He'll throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. And walk in a new direction. Walk in a new direction. You can put your hands down now. Thank you so much for responding today. Would all of us together pray this prayer together? Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me and sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sin. Thank you, Father, for the resurrection, a risen Lord, an empty tomb. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I surrender my life, every issue of my life, every hurt of my life to you. I give it all because you gave me all. Holy Spirit, fill me and guide me and lead me on my journey. In Jesus' name, amen.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.